Hi guys, and welcome to episode 38 of SEO Tales, where we're going to be talking about structuring an affiliate marketing article. Where the last episode we had was finding a content writer, so we're basically following up on that and how you structure an affiliate marketing article. Itamar is here as always, and if you do enjoy the content, make sure you do give us a like and a subscribe to this channel, and also check Itamar's channel out as well, Itamar Blower. I'm sure if you put that into the YouTube search, you will see his lovely face. But yeah, we're going to go back to structuring an affiliate marketing article. And on the last topic, we spoke about, you know, hiring content writers and the different types of content that are out there. So this is specifically for affiliate marketing. So we want to dig a bit deeper into how you structure affiliate marketing content and the best way to do that. So what do you think, or do you have any sites, Itamar, that you look at for inspiration when you see articles? Like, so say we're going to play a game here, right? You're the new guy to the industry, you're watching this show and you're thinking, you know, affiliate marketing could be a good choice here. You know, where do you go to find good affiliate marketing articles for you to then take that inspiration and say, that is the layout we need to do, let's go? So what websites do you think are good out there?
I mean, I can't give a specific website. I think what you need to do is, if you want to get some inspiration, you just, you know, and this is already, you know, you've got your niche, right? You already know what type of content you want to write. You've already kind of hired a content writer to write content. The first thing you should do is, for any of the keywords or the articles that you're trying to rank for, put them in on Google and just have a look at who's ranking number one for that and look at their structure. I think that's the first thing that I would do, because once you do that, you can see already that Google has rewarded this article for whatever reason, right? You go into it, you see the structure, how it's laid out. And let's say for this example, we're going to talk about product reviews, because that's, you know, the primary type of content that you have on affiliate sites. So you take a look at how they've structured their content for that particular product review. And you think to yourself, okay, you know, where are the keywords? You think to yourself, you know, how does it look visually? How have they made this content attractive for people? And then you also need to think, you know, how am I going to improve? How can I one up this content? And a lot of times this process is much simpler than people think, because they might be like, oh, I need to go on Google and type in, you know, best structure for affiliate marketing content. But, you know, all of that's going to be different depending on the niche that you're in. And I think that what better way do you have at understanding a kind of formula for content and how it's structured just by looking at who's ranking number one and seeing what content they have? So that's what I, you know, for my affiliate sites, and I've started, I've got two affiliate sites, and that's exactly what I did. They're in two different niches. I was looking to see who was ranking at the top for the keywords that I was looking for. And one of them I found, and I was like, wow, this is really well structured. I can really understand why people are going to be engaged on this particular site. And I literally took that structure and I just manually wrote it down, sorted it out, created my own templates, and using the page builder that I was using for WordPress, for instance. I was creating my own templates based on that, as well as thinking of ways of how to improve that. And then for the other niche, I found, I was like, wow, you know, this site's ranking, but it doesn't really have a structure. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So I can literally take the structure that I created, put it on that website, and I know for a fact that I'll be able to outrank it very, very quickly with less effort, I suppose. So I think that's the kind of way you need to approach getting ideas in terms of how to structure it. And obviously, it doesn't really have to be in your niche. You could take a look at any niche and kind of do this. So if you type in like best, you know, speakers in 2020 or something like that, just see who's at the top, see how they kind of structure the content there. And that's, I guess, the initial way of giving you ideas of how you might want to approach it.
So here's one thing I want to pick apart on what you just said there. Now, obviously, checking out the competition's spot on. I think every niche is different, and you know, doing what doing what works well in that particular niche is probably what everyone should do anyway. But one thing you mentioned there, and I've just completely forgot what it was. It was at the end, and I can't even remember what it was. I was just going to say, I can't even remember what it was. It might come back to me. But on your affiliate project yourself, what does that structure look like to the average Joe who, because someone out there might Google something and they might come across that website that had the crap structure and they haven't seen a good structure. So what does a good structure look like? Like, just in terms of, a header, a paragraph, a picture, a product description, buy now button, then a subheading, blah, 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 blah. What does it look like?
Yeah, I think when it comes to, and let's say if this is more tailored to like product guides or like a review of a product, you need to think about it in a very common sense way. So if you're the type of person who wants to look at a detailed review about a particular product, what's the kind of stuff you expect to see when you go on a particular page like that? Right? You'd expect an introduction, talks about the topic. You know, this is where you can kind of put in the keywords to begin with, at least make it, add the relevancy in there. Da, da, da. You've got the introduction. Then you've got to think, what do people consider? If I want to buy this product, what am I going to consider? There might be, five different things that you might want to look into, that especially if it's a product with loads of variables. Say, for example, it's a shoe where you've got different types of materials, you've got different sizes, you've got, different types of laces, whatever it might be. There might be different considerations. So that's what you'd have. And then you kind of get into let's say you're doing a top 10. So you'll have a list of the top 10. So you've got you can have the H2 of the top 10 X, whatever. And then you start listing out the different products. And obviously, if you're reviewing products, depending on what that product is, you might want to choose to be more creative. So certain products, you might have the product name at the top, you might have a description of it, and the complexity, I suppose, of the description is going to vary. But you might want to have some images in there. You might even want to have some videos in there that you've taken off YouTube of people using that particular product, and all of these things. And then obviously you've got to have the call to action, because otherwise, if no one's going to go in it and buy it, then you're not going to make any money. So I feel like when we're talking about products, that's the kind of structure you might want to have. I completely get the point where if someone is looking, they might find sites that have, bad structures. And I found that for the other affiliate site, because I looked at the top ranking articles. I'm like, well, there's no real structure to this. So, the best thing to do, like I said, is to look at different niches as well. Type in popular products, and usually the very competitive ones will have the highest rank, or the top ranking ones for the most competitive types of searches will have, or should have, some, a very, very clear, very well-defined good structure that you can follow as well. So that's kind of like how I would approach it. And then the only other thing, you've got to incorporate the internal links, have some kind of conclusion where you can at least, if there's like related products that you've written about, add some internal links in there, just so that you're able to keep the user engaged, keep them checking out different product reviews that are similar, or they might want to have, and then you can end up making more money as well as matching their intent. So that's kind of like how I would say about, the structure.
I've also remembered what I was wanting to pick apart as well. So you mentioned at the end, something like best, whatever it was, 2020. Now, for me, and that's something I want to pick up on, is a lot of people do the best this for 2020, the best that for 2020. And I think there's nothing wrong with adding those dates in if the search volume wants it. But what I would want to highlight and pick apart on there is be careful with your URL, because obviously years change, and you don't want to begin in and updating the URL year on year. Mm-hmm. And maybe having to do a redirect every year. So I just wanted to highlight that, if people are, looking at this and thinking, such and such 2020, that's a good thing to do. Just bear in mind the title of your article very much, in a lot of cases, by default, then becomes your URL. And if you're putting the years in the URL, there's nothing wrong with changing your title year on year, because you can go into a plugin like Better Search and Replace and change everything from 2020 to 2021 at the push of a button. Or you can manually go through and do all that stuff. But I just wanted to highlight that, because the reason for that is I bought an affiliate website from a guy, and he had a lot of the, it was the golf website that I had previously that I probably spoke about before. And he had things like the best golf trousers, the best golf bags for 2020 and all that stuff. And although there is search volume for that, clearly, it was in the bloody URLs and everything, and it was just a pain in the ass to go in and change all the time and then have to do a redirect. So that one little quirk that I wanted to pick apart so that people understand that, you know, that's an error that you don't want to do, because it just gives you more work year on year. Crap out. And
no, 100%. I mean, I should have specified that. I think, you know, when, if you're going to add the years, you can have it in the page titles, but then I guess if you're on WordPress, what you can do right from the beginning is when you add the page title in there and it includes the year, just save the draft, and then you'll see that the slug updates. So then you can change that slug or that URL and just remove the last bit where it includes the date, and then save that draft again. And then that way you'll be fine. So yeah, incorporate that into your process as well, because the last thing you really want to do is to have that post published. And especially, you know, if the year's changed or if you've built links to it as well. And I think that's the biggest pain when you've built links to that page and that slug. If you're going to change it, that's going to cause the 301s. And even if you haven't done 301s, that might be a bigger problem. So definitely don't include any dates in your URL. Only, like, the only time you might want to do that is if you're talking about something like an archive. So it's like what were the best rated, like, headphones or something in 2018 or something like that. Some, you know, there might be people curious in that kind of stuff. There are certain, I think in like a niche like cars, that might be a bit more kind of popular, where it's like, what were the best cars in 2018? Yeah. That's where you might want to keep it.
Even if you relate it to sporting events as well, you know, you might want to look at something from the World Cup 2018 and stuff like that. So where it's relevant, of course, do it. But if that article is supposed to rank year on year on year, do change that out. One other thing I want to ask you about, Itamar, and I just want your personal opinion on this. So obviously you get your well-structured article, you've got your call to action, you've got your internal links, you've got all your stuff, as you know, your competition have. You've got then, say, a top five products on there, or three or 10 or whatever you choose to have. Now, do you ever change those products out? And what are those products? Like, how do you structure that product list out? Is it like, so say it's five, we'll just take five, for example, the best five speakers. Do you go in to Amazon and just randomly grab five different speakers from different makes? Do you go into Amazon and grab stuff based on price? Like, you know, maybe one really expensive one, a couple of middle of the road ones, and a couple of cheaper options. What is your process like that for that? Because obviously everyone's got their own opinions on it. Sometimes people just slap up any old garbage. You need to get these conversions, and what's on your website might not be what the person's looking for. So how do you come up with a plan for the top five or the top 10 or whatever it's going to be?
Yeah, I think that just links to what we talked about last week with the SOPs. You know, I don't pick the products myself. My content writer picks out the products. But what I say to them is, you know, take a look at what's ranking for that particular thing. Make sure it's on Amazon.com. If it's an Amazon affiliate, I say look for the products with good reviews. Look for products that have at least some kind of vary potentially in price. There are certain products that will all be similar priced, and that's okay. But if it's products that you can have quite a difference, at least giving that choice to people where they can see that price. But again, that's something that I automate. And I think over time, you know, you may end up finding that products are unavailable. And that's where it, you know, when you think of the structure and how the content is displayed, you might have to do some manual edits, just because you know, these things happen. Products can become unavailable, especially on Amazon. And it's just something you have to deal with. But that's why it's also important to be checking your content. So like, even if it's once every month where you just go on any kind of product review you've got on an affiliate site, just go on it, just open all the links in a new tab, make sure that those products are still available. Because if they're not, you could be potentially losing out on some commissions, especially if we're talking about, you know, the higher price tags, you know, the more commissions. If it's like a product that's unavailable for now that costs maybe like £10, £15, am I going to care that much? Probably not, because most likely there'll be other products on the list that, you know, people are going to look for. And especially if we are talking Amazon and we're talking about cookie policies, then you should be okay, even if that person ends up finding something slightly different, but you'll still get credited. So I think to answer the question, first and foremost, that's something you've got to implement in your SOPs. That's something that you need to instruct the content writer. But you need to have a clear idea, of course, of what types of products you want to have in there.
I think it's a flawed way of working. You know, if people are letting their content writers do it, because, and this is just my own personal opinion, you know, who's to say that you look at someone who ranks really well, who's to say that is the top five products that are on there? Who says they're going to sell that well? Could you put five completely different products on there and sell more of them potentially? I think, you know, and I think a lot of people follow your process, Itamar, when they're doing it, because they're lazy. But also going back to, no, they do though, and you know, who says they're the best products? It might not be. And I think that's where testing stuff and changing stuff out, I think, is really important when it comes to Amazon or any type of affiliate. But also going back to what you say, you can also get a kind of tool called AMZ Link Checker. So rather than opening all the tabs up, it basically scans your website and it will tell you if products are unavailable. Now, people do regularly just leave their websites year on year, and you'll probably find that 50% of the products that you've listed are no longer available in certain niches. So it is really important that you do check that, go in, refresh that inventory. Could you make tweaks to get more conversions? Yes. Do you always have to write article after article after article? No. You know, if you've got really good articles that drive a lot of traffic and a lot of sales, you should be looking at that top five products and saying, are they the best top five products there? Should I make it seven products? Should I make it 10 products? What if I added, you know, another brand in there or whatever? And I think that is something that not many affiliates are doing. And it, you know, either comes down to, you know, I'm not saying everyone's lazy, you know, budget, all of that stuff. And you know, you just can't be asked. You know, if you've got a couple of websites, it's sometimes easier just to let your money go. But I've seen a lot of lazy affiliates who don't have that kind of process. And before you know it, a couple of years' time down the line, their websites start dipping because they you know, they have products and they're all broken links and it's just a complete shambles. So I think monthly maintenance and using technology like AMZ Link Checker will tell you if the products are out of stock. And if you do have that, it's an opportunity to potentially try something else on that page and see if it converts better, because your content writer's probably not going to be that fucked on the five products.
I think the only caveat, though, the only caveat with that sometimes, especially with Amazon, is that there might not be many products listed anyway. So as a content writer, or if you're picking them yourself, you might think, well, you know, sometimes you just got to go with what's there. I suppose if, as long as you're seeing that people have reviewed these products well and that you've checked the reviews, and, you know, yeah, you could say, you know, I could hold my hands up and say I'm too lazy to do that myself, but at least I tell my content writer, check the reviews, make sure they're legitimate, see what people are saying. And more often than not, the products that do rank better on Amazon are the ones that had the most sales anyway, and the ones that are better, that, or the Amazon sees are better for people. So sometimes the only caveat is if there aren't many products, in which case you might just have to put up whatever shows up and you don't have to do so much digging. But yeah, like I said, and like you mentioned, checking, you know, doing that maintenance every month just to make sure that those products are still available is going to help, because, you know, you got to think of UI, but you also got to think, you don't just want to have spent all of this time and money getting up content when you've got a chance to make a sale, but you can't because that product's unavailable. So I think, yeah, you're 100% right about the maintenance part. And obviously, if you can do some more digging, or at least some have some ways, whether it's with your SOPs, whether you do it yourself or you outsource it, ways to make sure that the products that you are reviewing are actually fit for purpose for that particular customer.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense to do that. And as I say, throwing it out there just so that people know that that is an option to dig deeper. Many people don't dig that deep and have reasonable success, but could you have more success is what I'm looking at. You know, don't always just look for another bunch of articles. Sometimes reinvent what you've already got and make it better and more up to date is a great way to probably summarize off this particular section. Anything else you think we've not covered on the structure and content?
No, I think you know, that just to summarize, just go with what's working, do your own research. Again, have SOPs, have things structured. The kind of, I guess, the things that I've said previously about structuring, if it's like a product review, definitely consider that, because you just got to think of it logically as to, if you wanted to buy this type of product and you were on this page, what's the kind of stuff that you would like to see? And I think sometimes that is the best approach you can have.
Yep, for sure. For sure. But that is us pretty much for this particular episode. We will be back again next week for episode 39. But if you did like this episode or any of the other ones, make sure you do leave us a like and subscribe on this channel. And you can also have a look at Itamar on Itamar Blower. Put that into the search bar on YouTube and I'm sure you will see him. And we will catch you all in the next episode, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.